Welcome to the Super Gamer Podcast. Welcome to the new Super Gamer Podcast, episode 174. Our guests, plural, this week, one of them has been on the show before, a friend of the show. We have Fear Emil here, but we also have String Player Gamer. They are musicians. They are Axe and Ale. That is their latest collaborative project, and that's mostly what we're going to be talking about. But I want to start off, Fear Emil, congratulations on 1,000 YouTube subscribers.
When I was here the last time, I was actually, I think you asked me about it because I was kind of trying to do a push to get to 1K last year, but of course it was not successful last year, but that's okay because I'm super happy that right now I have achieved this number because for people on YouTube, this is a very significant number because, of course, there is also the requirement for hours, but it's a requirement for channel monetization. So, yeah.
Congratulations. Yay.
Yeah. And that's true. We were talking about it when you were last here. I think you were at 600 and something at that point. So there you go.
It flies so fast.
Yeah, no kidding. So Axe and Ale, you've released an album already, Tavern Melodies, Medieval Lute and Flute Dances of the Hobbits, Volume 1, and you're already at 88,000 views on YouTube in like a month. So how's that feel?
Amazing, to be honest, because at least for me, this is totally like new. If you check my solo channel, which is Fear Emil, I think the most views I've had was like, I don't know, 15K or something, but it was like not even close to this and also not this fast. So this was like super, super awesome to see. But yeah, I mean, I was very happy and very excited to work even more on XNAO when we saw like the reception of the stuff we did so far.
I'm coming in from the lens of a composer who tried many times in the past to promote original music. And original music is really difficult to promote if you're not an established artist known for that original style, and if you don't have like a pre-built audience in a certain genre that you can lean on, because I also do video game music covers on my YouTube channel, and you know, covers are based on already established franchises, so there's already kind of a built-in audience for that. But trying to promote original music, an original album, original compositions that is not tied to anything, not tied to a film score, not tied to any franchise, but it's just all you. It feels very vulnerable to put yourself out there trying to promote your original music. And so that is why I'm coming in from like the point of view of like a jaded composer who's had many failures in the past. So when Fear Emil and I decided to do Axe and Ale as a project, I came in as more of like an experimental point of view. Oh, this is a new style that I like to try, a medieval fantasy tavern music. I like to try this because I've never committed to anything in this style, and I think it might be fun. And I know Fear Emil is already kind of a very, very well familiar, very familiar with this kind of genre already. So I definitely took a lot of advice from Fear Emil, especially, hey, Fear Emil, do you have any playlist recommendations from established artists in this field that I can kind of listen to just for inspiration? So when, you know, coming from that perspective, when Spotify numbers and YouTube numbers started blowing up, and it was like Fear Emil was updating me almost every day, almost every other hour, especially during the first week. We were like, oh, new listener count for Spotify, new view count for YouTube. Oh my God, comments are coming in, very nice, wholesome comments. People like actually recognizing the music that we wrote, actually commenting very nice comments, and it is just like a delightful surprise. And so, yeah, I'm very, very happy with the outcome so far.
Yeah, I just sent to a good friend of mine, we'd played Dungeons & Dragons together, he's the Dungeon Master, and he likes to have sort of ambient music in the background, and I sent him your album today, and he was like, awesome, yeah, I'll definitely be using this.
Thank you so much for sharing our album, Mark. Regarding what SPG just said, it's very funny because my point of view was like the exact opposite. I kind of felt this was like, I don't know why, but I always told SPG, of course, I didn't know how much of a success this would be or not. But I was like, oh, I think this will be successful. And also, I don't know why, I do a lot of covers, but people ask me a lot, why don't I do original things? And I don't know why people also always ask me that on my channel. I don't know why, because it was like a cover channel. But it was like a lot of comments like that. So I was like, oh, okay, let's see what happens. I think this will go well, because I was like, SPG is a great composer. I know his original work. He does great compositions. I'm not an experienced composer, but I do know the style very well, as SPG said. And also the aesthetic of the style, this was another factor that I think helped. And I was like, I think this will go well. I was very excited, but it did better than I thought. But like, I thought it would go well. Yes.
SPG, you mentioned inspiration there, and I know you've got a lot of inspiration from video games on different tracks. There's The Witcher, Dragon Age Inquisition, Horizon Zero Dawn. There's a Zelda one in there. But not only specifically to the songs and the melodies in that, Axe and Ale actually started in a video game. You were in a tavern in Lord of the Rings Online, just sort of deciding, hey, what should we do this? Let's do this.
Oh my God, that is like a wonderful story. So just a little bit of backgrounder. Firamil and I, we both play Lord of the Rings Online. And one time, like this fateful night, we decided to try to explore a new area, a new update to the Shire map. But we couldn't find any common quests that we could do together. So we just ended up exploring the new area, and they had like taverns scattered around in that Hobbiton area. And we entered one of the taverns, enjoying the music, enjoying the ambiance in the game. And we just like sat there for a while, talking and enjoying and talking about, hey, this is a great map. Oh, look at all those hobbits around us. And then the idea just came up. Why don't we do an album that sounds like this, but original music? And that's the idea. So just days after that, we started sending each other playlists from Spotify of established artists in the genre, from video game franchises to individual artists. It was just like an all absorption session, like absorbing all these musical styles, especially for me, because this is relatively new for me as a composer. And so I really leaned into Firamiel's already extensive knowledge in regards to the medieval tavern fantasy music. Yes, I very much lean towards the medieval soundtracks present in video games, because that's what I know, that's what I grew up with. But Firamiel goes beyond the video games and actually follows and listens and recommends like actual medieval artists who are not necessarily connected to games. Maybe you want to expound on that, Firamiel.
That's true. I also like, of course, the soundtracks from games that happen to be in this style. But I also listen to bands in this style that are not connected to games at all, such as, I don't know, Faun, for example, which is one of my favorite bands. But there's, for example, also Percival, which ended up doing the soundtrack of The Witcher. So there's that. I listen to the style in games and also out of games, let's say.
I did want to actually mention, as far as your musical taste, on the Game Grooves Uncovered podcast that you two were on, Firamil, you mentioned Blind Guardian, which isn't quite this style. It's like the heavy metal version of this style, but I love that band. And in fact, that's how I met my dungeon master, is the two of us bonded over our love of Blind Guardian.
It's awesome. Yes, I do like also bands that are like connected to the style in a way, but for example, there's a band called Summoning that I really enjoy that plays like kind of dungeon synth slash black metal, and they do a lot of music with lyrics from, with texts from Tolkien and stuff like that. So, or for example, Elvetri, which is a folk metal band that uses like hurdy-gurdies and tin whistles, but also there's like a bit of death metal in their sound. So I listen to a lot of derivative works of this medieval universe, like Tolkien-derived universe or something like that. So... yeah, but I would say the meeting point with SPG's musical taste would be like, for example, soundtracks from, I don't know, World of Warcraft or Dragon Age Inquisition or Witcher and other games like that, or Baldur's Gate now, or I don't know. I don't know. To be honest, have not played Baldur's Gate until now, but I intend to. I intend to, guys.
Same.
I haven't played it yet either. I got Diablo 4 and I kind of regret it. But actually, speaking of World of Warcraft, SPG, I hear you were kind of a bigwig in that game for a while. And I know you two are now in a guild together in Lord of the Rings Online. SPG, are you the guild leader?
No. Okay, World of Warcraft, I was wanted to... from the very beginning. So... when I was still living in the Philippines, we did not have access to World of Warcraft because World of Warcraft was not officially released in the Philippines. If you wanted to play World of Warcraft in the Philippines, you had to pay extra premium access in a more expensive internet cafe, because internet cafes were a big thing in the Philippines. Even today, that's where people play their online games and all, but not all common internet cafes had World of Warcraft, only the more expensive ones. And I was a broke college student, so I couldn't. But many years later, I'm already here in America, which has, of course, World of Warcraft. So I tried two updates, Warlords of Draenor and Legion. And I played all the way. I had two level 100 characters, and I even joined raiding guilds. But eventually, I think this is common for more casual players of MMOs. You join a raiding guild, and eventually, when you want to experience the raiding thing, and then it becomes a schedule. It becomes almost like a second job. Mm-hmm. It becomes a chore, and I lost the passion for it. So I never came back to World of Warcraft because I'm still kind of reeling from that loss of interest. But thankfully, and when I met Firamil in 2020, we became really close friends, and eventually we played online games together, especially Lord of the Rings Online. I am not the guild master, but one of our friends, Talidar, is actually the guild master. He created the guild. And it's not really like a full-on guild. It's just like five or six of us hanging out as friends, sometimes playing together. It's just like a friend's guild or something.
You're halfway to a fellowship.
Yes.
I did love to, you had a stream, the two of you together, when you released your album, and you showed a picture, like a screenshot of when the concept of Axe and Ale, like, really got solidified. And it looks like you two, like, you're, as you told the story, you're in this hobbit tavern, but it looks like you two, your characters are elves. And I like to think that it's these, like, two elves just randomly in a hobbit tavern, and they're just sitting there like, wow, I've never heard this music. I really like this. We should take it back home.
That's actually a really cool idea, Mark. I had not thought it like that, but indeed, our characters are both elves. And so we, in this picture that we showed, it was a hobbit tavern, and all the other people in the tavern were like hobbits. And we were like kind of big in comparison to everyone, of course. So it had kind of funny factor. And that would be a funny story, like two elves entering a hobbit's tavern and thinking, oh, this is different from what we are used to. This is like more lively, more, I don't know. I think they would feel something like that.
Why is it you mentioned before we started, and you've said it a few times, why is Axe and Ale faceless? Like, why is it not something with Firamil and String Player Gamer names and faces attached to it?
Can I go first, SPG?
Go ahead.
Okay. So I think one thing that made this project go this well, in my opinion, is that we tried to remove everything that kind of stopped us and like made us maybe waste time. So one aspect that really makes me lose waste a lot of time on my channel is making videos. It takes a long time for me to make a video. I don't know why. I find it so much harder than like doing the music part. I like never like the faces that I'm doing. I have to film stuff like 1,000 times. When I was discussing this with String Player Gamer, we both reached the conclusion that videos were one aspect that made it harder for us to release more music on our own channels. And also, I don't know, I think there's this kind of fantasy aspect, more like kind of, it's not mysterious totally, but maybe a bit. We are kind of flirting with the idea of having like fantasy avatars for us. I don't know if this will come into fruition or not, but we are considering like doing something like gorillas or Daft Punk and having like fantasy avatars for us. This is something that we are considering. So yeah, and the main aspect is, at least for me, I think I like take too long to do videos, and I would release a lot of music, a lot of more music on my own channel if I didn't like restrict myself to this style of always having to do a video for every song that I release. And at least for me, this was like the main driver.
Also, I think being faceless, us to have the listeners and the viewers and the supporters just focus on the music, because if you base your brand on your personality, your personal appearance, then it could always influence how people will receive you, and sometimes they'll be receptive to you as the person, or maybe they will be turned off. It could go both ways. And showing our faces, showing ourselves as people, instead of just behind the scenes from the music, will add a potential additional barrier for people to just focus on the music. So, you know, I think it's great that Firamel mentioned Daft Punk, because if you would listen to or you would read interviews by Daft Punk, they will always ask, why the masks? Why the masks? Why do you wear the masks? Because they want people to just focus on the music and not the personality. Because we already manage personality-based brands on our own individual channels. And that's a whole different playbook. Whereas if you just want a more music-focused brand, our initial focus was just to release this kind of music, our original music, just on Spotify, which is an audio-based brand. Well, they have some video element now too, but it's still mainly an audio-focused brand. And that's what we wanted to focus. We just wanted people to just focus on the music, enjoy it as ambience music, go straight to the music without having an additional pressure to also get to know the personalities behind it. We're removing that sort of obligation from everyone, because, you know, personality-based brands, like, for example, regular YouTube creators live and breathe by their personality. If people don't like their personality, they just click off, even if their material is excellent. But just because there's a personality right in front of you who could maybe or maybe not fit your tastes, then that's just another barrier of possible followers. So I think that is also one of the reasons why we're just straight up getting new supporters just because of the music. They just go straight for the music and that's it.
Obviously, this is a success story, but I'm a little surprised in the sense that, SPG, you were saying you came into this kind of pessimistic. And I mean, you've got near 200,000 YouTube subscribers on your brand. You know, why not cross-post and promote that way? And I also know you're a big fan of those reaction faces for thumbnails.
Actually, I just released a Baldur's Gate reaction bit. Actually, I just released a Baldur's Gate 3 music reaction video where I plugged Axe and Ale in the middle.
Ah.
But then again, it will only go as far as that. And this is because the built-in audience of String Player Gamer is not necessarily the same audience as Axe and Ale, and that will just cause alienation. You don't mix brands from different niches. Yes, there's always going to be crossover. There's going to be like overlapping Venn diagram audiences, but that's not the intention. We want Axe and Ale to be its own thing, maybe separate from my own brand as String Player, which is a different style of music, a different type of brand, personality-based brand. But Firamel is but Firamel's style is actually closer to the aesthetic of Axe and Ale, so there's more potential for Firamel to kind of cross-promote, and that's actually what she's already doing in her own Instagram posts and all that. Right, Firamel?
But I think you can promote as well, as PG. I think there's an overlap, bigger than you think, probably.
How hard has it been for you two to restrain yourselves? I know part of what you want to do here, at least for the Hobbit album, is to make it simple as far as your instrument choices. And you're both multi-instrumentalists. So how hard has it been to restrain yourselves from being like, oh, we should put this in and we should buy this instrument and put that in?
Okay, regarding restricting ourselves, the temptation is always hard because we always have a huge collection of instruments. Firamel has her own 1,000 instruments. I have my own 1,000 instruments in my room alone. And there's always going to be option paralysis. Hey, should we include two guitars instead of one? How about three ocarinas? How about five tin whistles and three bass guitars? You know, I'm exaggerating, but that's pretty much the idea. But we already know, we know ourselves too well that we're going to be so tempted to keep adding and adding and adding instruments if we don't set rules for ourselves. So that's the agreement. Let's set rules for ourselves. Two instruments each from a certain instrument group. I'm using guitar and guitar lele, which is a smaller guitar. Different style of sound, but same tuning. And Friemel is using several types of tin whistles. Immediately, we are restricted to the type of sound that we can produce. And even better, Firamiel's tin whistles have fixed key signatures. So we can't just, you know, go full chromatic, so many modulations and key changes willy-nilly. No. We restricted ourselves to the instruments and the key signature, which actually ended up very much favorable because we were able to just focus on the music, on the melody. We were able to focus immediately on the writing without having to worry, oh, what key should we do this in? Oh, yeah, just use the fixed key that we already have. And it's... And there's always a saying that... if you limit yourselves, you're actually manifesting more of your creativity because you are forcing yourself to work within those boundaries, but still trying to create the best kind of result, the most beautiful sounding melody, the most beautiful, the most beautiful looking artwork with just a limited palette of colors or instruments. So raw creativity comes in instead of using gear, or in our case, instead of using multiple instruments as a crutch just to have an added level. That's what I think.
I think it's pretty much what SPG said. I think having restrictions really helped the process be like faster, because otherwise we are usually going back and forth too much. So I think the restrictions worked in our favor. And also made the sound of the full album blend, like, be really, I don't know, connected to one another. Like, the tracks do sound similar, so it's like all the same, I don't know, sound environment or something, sound palette or something. I don't know. I think you understand what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I also wanted to add to that. One of our friends actually commented that he listened to the album. He said it sounded really authentic. And then we explained to him the limitations. We said that we're choosing literally small instruments because I'm mostly using the guitar lele, which is like a 1/4 size of a full classical guitar, and Firamel is using tin whistles, which is, you know, both portable instruments. And then this friend of ours, he mentioned that, oh yeah, no wonder it sounds authentic, because you're using instruments that are ultra portable. And, you know, during those olden times, traveling musicians would only usually walk or travel by horse, but usually by foot. So they could not really carry double basses or drum sets because you have to be portable and travel light. So that is pretty much a nice analogy.
I hope I pronounced this right, but SPG, you play Hegelong?
And yes.
You've said before in a I'm sure you've said it several times, but certainly in a 2012 interview for GMA News with Carmela La Pena, you had mentioned that you wanted to bring that into modern music. So any desire to use that on any Axe and Ale songs?
Not at the moment, because we wanted to focus more on the Western medieval. But, you know, we're always open to exploring as we expand our repertoire. We're always open to exploring more and more of the subcultures of fantasy medieval music. I mean, we've already started to talk about pirate album. What else?
Yeah, you'd said maybe you'd go through all the Tolkien, like orc, dwarf, elf.
Yes, something like that. Orc, dwarf, elven album. And maybe at one point we'll try, how would a medieval or feudal Japanese tavern would sound like? Maybe, you know, there's always these possibilities. It could happen. The possibility is always there.
Firamil, have you been tempted to go? I know there's a medieval restaurant you frequent right by where you live. Are you going to go drop off a CD or say like, hey, look us up on Spotify and then you can play it while we're here?
Oh, unfortunately, my experiences trying to do that with my own covers before were not like the best. So I kind of gave up on doing that. Oh my gosh.
That's too bad. My favorite song on the album, when you did the release, I had said I really like song 3, but I have a change of heart now after listening to it a few times. Preparing for a Very Special Birthday, I really like. It's got a very Irish sound to it, and it also reminds me of anyone who grew up in Canada when I did would remember there were these vignettes that showed on TV, and there was one called The Log Driver's Waltz, and it was, you know, it was a song about a log driver, and it really reminds me of that, so it's very nostalgic for me. I like that song a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice. But wow, I don't think SPG knows this vignette as well, so if you can share with us later, I would like to see that.
Yeah, sure. Please,
absolutely. You two, you have said your favorite song is Not All Who Wander Are Lost. SPG, you credit Firamel for that and what she brought to that song. But can you both explain why it is that's your favorite on the album?
Oh, yeah. So our album is composed of a balance of danceable tunes and more contemplative ones. And track number seven, Not All Who Wander Are Lost, is one of the most poignant or provocative songs within the contemplative sound. And, you know, I initially started this song based on, this is inspired by Priscilla's song from The Witcher 3 and Enchanter from Dragon Age. So I kind of tried to capture that mood, that kind of vibe with just the guitar lele. So I recorded my chord progression, and I recorded my melody. And it sounded decent. It's like a A-B-A-B song form, like a traditional song with a verse, chorus, verse, chorus. And it sounded decent when I was only playing my instruments with it. And then I sent the recording to Firamel. And she added the deep emotional aspect of the song with her recording of the flute. So my decent melody suddenly became an emotional song, an emotional ballad because of Firamel's amazing playing, especially with those flute bends that she added. It became such an emotional song, even more emotional, instead of just a decent song, instead of, you know, oh, this is a nice song. But instead, it became, instead, oh my, this song. Instead, it became like that. And even the title of the song is credits to Firamel, who, because, you know, we like to title our songs based on Tolkien lore, fantasy lore, and the quote, "Not all who wander are lost," is actually a quote from Gandalf in the Lord of the Rings. And Firamel was the one who decided, oh yeah, what do you think of this title? Yes, yes, I like that. So yeah, that's the story of Not All Who Wander Are Lost.
Is that similar to why you like it, Firamel?
I would say it is, because I think it's one of the... It reminds me a lot of... Because it was kind of inspired by, but it reminds me a lot of Enchanter from Dragon Age Inquisition. But maybe I like it more. I know, it sounds kind of bad to say that, but anyway. But I really love that song as well, so I think this is the reason why I like this one. It reminds me of that song. But of course there's difference, but it reminds me of that song and I really like that song.
Do you two have any plans or desire to play live events? Like, you know, whether that be Magfest or whatever?
Yeah, initially because it's very difficult, we live in different countries. I'm in the United States and Firmino is in Brazil. So the initial goal of the project is to just produce albums that will be out on Spotify and all the musical platforms. However, I'm always open to the idea of, if it becomes convenient, like, for example, doing a one-off show in Brazil or maybe in some event or some Renaissance fair. We are not closing that idea, but it's definitely not the priority. Our priority right now is to produce 10 albums, 100 albums immediately, and pretty much just push our compositional skills to the limit, or maybe just expand our thirst to, you know, write original melodies in this style, because we definitely have a lot to offer with just the composition and just the music production alone. Of course, we have this some sort of mindset that whenever we write something in, especially this first album, we try to make it sound as if it is a live performance. So if we're, for example, oh yeah, just imagine two bards playing in a tavern. And you cannot have the listener imagine just two bards playing in a tavern if you're going to record something with like 10 guitars and 15 violins. That's not live realistic if you just want to imagine a more intimate setting of 2 to 3 bards in a tavern. So kind of like that.
You've said before, Firamel, you're the axe. SPG, you're the ale. Partly that's because Firamel's emotes on Twitch are more, you know, violent. But do you think that does that fit your personalities as well?
Oh, no. I mean, maybe my emotes are... I don't think they are violent.
Maybe that's the wrong word. Too strong a word.
No, but... I know what you're referring to, but I think they are maybe more aggressive than SPG's emotes. That's probably why he said that. But they are still very innocent, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think it's just like a joke that was passed around. Oh, because we were not really thinking who's going to be Axe, who's going to be Ale. Like, we just wanted a cool name. Oh, Axe and Ale, that's a cool name. But then our friends on Twitch would joke around, oh, so who's Axe and who's Ale? We just like randomly pointed at each other. Oh, Firamel is Axe and I'll be Ale. There's nothing really formal that was planned around
right.
it.
Right, nothing to read into there.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. Well, people can check out the album, and should. For all the links to where you can find it, you can go to ffm.to/axeale. And if you're just someone who goes to YouTube. You can find you guys at Axe Ale Music on YouTube. Anything else you want to say before we wrap up?
I would just like to thank you for having us, Mark. Thank you so much for having us here. I hope it was a fun time for you.
Yes, thank you so much for having us. We are very, very much enjoying this interview.
Fear Meal and String Player Gamer, thank you so much.